Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read together with me, won't you, the sermon title upon the screen, Check Your Neck. Ewald did a great job finding this slide. It was hard to find one that matched our sermon title, Check Your Neck. Listen again to these very challenging words from today's gospel lesson in Mark chapter 9. Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it'd be better for him if with a heavy millstone tied around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life crippled than having two hands and go into hell. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life lame than having two feet cast into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell. Again, our sermon title, Check Your Neck. Now, why such shocking words from Jesus? Your eye sins, pluck it out. Hand sins, cut it off. Foot sins, cut it off. Why such shocking words from Jesus? It's because we need to be awakened today to how serious sin is. Because contrary to the society in which we live and so many people around us, God takes sin seriously. But today, sin is often just winked at. And even the word sin has almost vanished from our vocabularies. Instead, we are told about lifestyle choices and personal preferences. And when someone is caught in a wrongdoing, it's called a lapse of judgment. Or, let's call my lawyers. We must always strive, says the world around us, to be politically correct. Oh, and I'm being sarcastic here. We should never publicly mention the word sin. We should strive to be inclusive of all ways of living and teach our children always to be the same. Now, this last couple weeks, I've been in correspondence with our Richmond Public Library. It's not been pleasant correspondence. I have questioned a program they're promoting, and I've questioned their reason behind the program. To make a very long story short, their program is to bring in a person to the library who calls himself a drag queen, that is a man who dresses like a woman with makeup and hair and lipstick and all the same, to come and to read books to children, to tell them about the joy of this kind of living. Thereby, this promotes the various agendas of the so-called gay pride communities, and especially muddies up in the eyes and hearts of our children, what does it mean to be a boy or a girl? Or what's the difference between a man or a woman? And when I asked our public leaders how this could be healthy for our children, I was basically told they need to hear none of my shocking words about God and sin and such non-inclusive things. Well, our gospel reading and sermon text for today speaks clearly about sin with very shocking words. In graphic and shocking language, we are told by our Lord, if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. If your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now that is to say, don't go out and cripple yourself, but take sin seriously and avoid it because of its destructive consequences. And what about this millstone tied around your neck, Jesus mentioned? Do you remember it? Verse 42 says, if we cause a new believer or a little child to sin and fall away from God, it would be better for us, Jesus says, I quote, that a millstone be hung around our neck and we be cast into the sea. Now, a millstone is a large circular stone who's powered by a donkey walking in a circle. And that stone is crushing wheat grains upon another flat stone to make flour. This millstone weighs hundreds of pounds, as much as your car weighs. And here Jesus says that whoever causes a little child to stray from God or a new believer to stray from God, it would be better to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea than let God get a hold of them. This poetic and graphic picture declares this truth. Sin is serious, and God takes sin seriously. Now, our problem is this. And by the way, we church folks are really good at doing this. We can easily make a list of sin of people we know whose sin is serious. But we leave ourselves off the list. We may dwell on the sins of family or friends or neighbors, but we don't want to consider the sins of that person whose face we see when we look into the bathroom mirror every morning. If we consider the pages of Holy Scripture, we might even think about someone like King David. King David, who committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, who had her husband Uriah put to death, and continued to live as the king as if it was no big deal. Later in this text, we find King David doing what we so easily do. David sees the sins of others and points them out. But he doesn't want to look at his own sin. And then God sent to David a prophet named Nathan to hold up the mirror of God's word to him and to tell David, you, not them, you are the man. You're the sinner. Today, we are to look into the same mirror of God's law and see our own sin and not to waste our time looking for the sins of others. Romans 3:23 says it pretty clearly, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When you and I look into the mirror of God's word, each of us must say, along with today's Mark 9's text, I have sinned with my hand by what I've done. I've sinned with my feet by the path that I've walked. I've sinned with my eyes by the things I've lusted for and coveted. And if we look at our lives over the years, we come to another conclusion. Our own, and please listen to these words, I'm speaking them to myself as well as to you. Church attenders, believers in our Lord Jesus, if we look at our own lives over the years, we have to come to another conclusion. So often, our own words and our own deeds have not always pointed others to our dear Lord. Not only have we sinned, but we have caused others to sin and to stray away from God. My goodness, according to the text, that heavy millstone should be tied around your neck and mine. Today's scripture text from Mark 9 declares, and would you read it with me again, the sermon title, in Mark 9, we are told to check your neck. Come face to face with your own sin, says our Lord. Look into God's mirror and don't look there for anybody else, but look for yourself. Check your own neck and not the neck of somebody else. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. We sin and the wages due to us is God's wrath and eternal punishment. We are that man that Nathan pointed out to David. We cannot just spend our lives pointing out the sins of others. And here I'll do something you've seen me do countless times that Mrs. Miller, I've introduced her to you, my Sunday school teacher taught me. We are not to be busy about the business of pointing fingers at others and say, look at their sin, because when we point one finger at people, we have three coming back right to ourselves. I am that man. You are that man. Our neck bears that heavy millstone. Then in Revelation 18 tells us it is to be thrown into the depths of the sea and never found again. Now, my goodness sakes, if we stopped the sermon right here and didn't go any further, we would be without hope. If we stopped the sermon right here and went home, you go home feeling guilty and ashamed with no escape. Are you ready to hear some good news? Do you want to hear some good news?
Yes.
Well, the scripture tells us, in the words and images of today's sermon text, the sweet gospel is this: the millstone that should have been tied around our neck was tied upon the neck of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus has become sin for us. He became sin in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God the Heavenly Father tied your millstone around Jesus' neck, and Jesus bore that sin as he hung upon the cross and was nailed and killed for you and in my place and in yours. He bore your sin, became your sin, took God's judgment upon himself, and he died for you and in your place. But he rose from death, and he burst through the grave, and he cast aside that millstone. And because of Jesus, your millstone, my millstone, has been broken and crushed and thrown away. Check your neck. The millstone has been removed. Your sin is paid for. Your sin is forgiven. You have been made right with Almighty God. Do it with me, won't you? Check your neck. Check it. The millstone is gone. Your sin and your burden have been taken away. You need not bear it any longer. Oh, check your neck at every baptism. Every time you see a baptism, see that millstone around that person's neck untied and crushed forever. And every baptism you see is a reminder of your baptism when your millstone was taken away. Oh, check your neck every time we receive the Lord's Supper and Holy Communion. As you receive the very body and blood of Christ, you receive God's promise for you, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Your millstone has been untied and broken into pieces. My friends, if you haven't heard it clearly yet, hear it right now. Your sins have been paid for and forgiven in Jesus Christ your Savior. Check your neck. Your millstone has been removed. You can now live as God's child, loving and forgiving others. One last time, let's consider Jesus' shocking words in today's gospel reading about cut off hands and feet and plucked out eyes, and about millstones. These words tell us that God takes sin seriously. He surely does. But he takes forgiveness even more seriously. Our God is in the business of forgiving sins. So, one last time, check your neck. In Jesus' name, your millstone is gone. Your sins are forgiven. Now live as God's own dear child and give thanks to God. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen. Amen.